talk to the How to Podcast series. I get to talk to great podcasters from around the world. I'm here in Canada, and my guest today is joining me, not from Canada, but hey, we're excited to have her on the podcast and be talking about all things podcasting today. We're going to go back and forth and share some great thoughts together. Suswati is with me. Welcome to the How to Podcast series.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Dave. It's great. Coming all the way from slightly warmer than Canada, UK. I can't complain. Thanks for having me.
It's amazing. I love meeting great podcasters from around the world and getting to know a little bit about your perspective on podcasting and what you're seeing and what you're doing. Let's bring everybody into the conversation and let everybody know about your background as a podcaster and what are you up to and what's your show about? What are you talking about on your podcast?
Oh, well, thanks for having me, first of all. I've been in the podcasting game, you could say, since 2020, as is a lot of people after the during the pandemic, where everyone's like sitting and twiddling their thumbs at home. So it meant like this is a great way to reach people where everyone was feeling really isolated. So I think it meant that I used it as a medium to try and reach other people, which I think so many people can probably relate to in that instance. And I just basically amalgamated lots of different parts of myself into this without it being about me. Very importantly, I love reading. So it's books, podcasts, mental health and basically well-being, politics, life skills are very important factors in my life. As a news journalist, it means I'm constantly reading and things like that. So I like to bring that into the discussion. I amalgamated these things, also my skills as a journalist in interviewing authors and things like that together. But the biggest part of it was the fact that I, despite being in the media for like 18 years now, I'm petrified of public speaking, which I know sounds bizarre given here I am.
Right.
But it was terrible. It was terrifying. So it was aversion therapy to just force myself to do it. I was like, I have to do this. Otherwise, I'm going to sit here trembling in any meeting. So it was a way to sort of get me out of my shelf. I was like, okay, let's give this a go. And it was very bad at the beginning. It was really bad. But
we talked about that. You said, well, your very first recording, that you struggled. And I think that's something I would love to just touch on for a little bit, because there's somebody listening to us right now. And they're thinking, oh, the two of you sound so great on the microphone and they make it sound so easy. I'm petrified of recording my voice or doing any of what you're talking about. Can you just explain to the person listening who thinks they can't do this about how you did your first episode? Because when we talked about this, I was so thrilled to hear you explain how you did this and how you overcame this. Can you share a little bit about that story?
Yeah, sure. It is a case of taking baby steps. Again, when I look at a microphone, everything goes. My brain stops functioning properly. And, you know, I've had really terrifying stage fright for most of my life. I'm a guitarist. I was in a band and I used to sit in the back because I just couldn't do it. It was too hard. So I was like, okay, I've got to somehow get over this. So what I did was I sat there sentence by sentence recording it. So I would stop after every sentence. And basically I had a string of sentences all recorded separately. And then I brought them together and just edited it. So it sounded like I was super confident and I took out all the ums and ahs and the panting and the hyperventilating, all the breathing went, which I still do. And so I think with the good editor, you can really polish something up so it doesn't sound like you are terrified to do this, but it is a case of doing it baby steps, really slowly, just trust your one sentence at a time and you can really get through quite a bit. So first episode was 10 minutes long and that was all I can manage. And basically now I'm able to do an hour long. And so it is a case of just working at it and really, really sort of putting your mind to it and just persevering, which is why I'm still doing it.
It's one thing to record your episode. It's another thing to post it into the world for the whole world to see, right? And but what did it feel like for you to notice that people were actually listening to that episode when you see the different countries and the different places and you, there's people behind those numbers? What did that mean for you? Is that getting past, getting over that first episode? Was that encouraging for you to see the feedback?
Yeah, absolutely. Because for me, also, it was accountability, which was really important. It meant that, you know, I couldn't just sort of stop after two or three episodes because I was like, oh, someone's actually listening and they know, because I've said in the episode, I am a timid presenter. That is the point, which is, you know, it is, I'm trying to come out of my shell by doing this, which means they know this is the case. And that therefore, I'm kind of putting myself out there and saying, okay, I have this confidence issue and therefore it's okay if I make mistakes and if I'm feeling a little bit wobbly when I'm talking. So accountability and having that relationship with the audience is really important, I think, because it's so easy to stop recording after a few episodes because you're just like, oh, all I can think of is the numbers. How much I'm downloading. And it's not about that. It's about that one person who listened, who was just like, oh, you, I listened to you. You had to do it. So I was like, okay, good. I'm just going to keep going. And there I've just been going and going since 2020. So, you know, and I know that you know all about that with all your various podcasts.
Yes, there's a few. How are you different now, though? 4 years in as a podcaster, recording, being on the microphone, guesting on podcasts like you're doing today, how do you feel now as far as, you know, being in public and speaking in front of people, being on a podcast? Are you getting more comfortable with this? Are you seeing some improvements?
Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, even though, like, you know, I think with a one-to-one like this is great because I feel very comfortable having a chat with someone. It's like chatting to a friend. So that's always a nice feeling. Yeah, it's true. And it's different in a group setting where it can be really frightening, like doing a presentation or something like that. But it's so much better because the fact that I can sit here for a solid, like, 20 minutes and talk without having to stop, it makes a big difference. I know that there's still a lot of improvement I can make with it, especially because I like to sort of and ah between things because I'm sort of formulating a thought. But I think it's gotten a lot better. And I still do my hand wringing underneath the camera, which helps me manage sort of the anxiety side of it, because that's a really big part of also podcasting if you're quite introverted. So, which is trying to manage that kind of, you know, introversion within this sort of sphere. So, yeah, this is my little thing where I manage my my anxiety. So I just kind of wring my hands for a bit.
It's amazing. And the one thing I love about the podcast community, even though we do a lot of our recording and our work behind the scenes by ourselves, there's a great community of podcasters out there who want to support the other podcasters and give advice, be helpful, listen to our shows, give us some feedback, help us improve. Everyone seems to want everyone to do well in podcasting.
It's true.
Compared to some of the other places like YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Podcasting seems to be a different group of people.
I think I completely agree. It's like a grassroots movement. You know, it's lots of independent people. You know, of course, when it started, there was a few very big people and things like that. But it's the fact that it's accessible to everyone. Anyone can do it if they have the right equipment, which means that there's such a vast network of people, just ordinary people reaching out to each other. It's a really wonderful environment. You know, like I think even more so when I go to these big podcast events, and it's actually more exciting to meet the independent podcasters who are all just sitting there plugging away trying to do it than meeting the big sort of kahunas like Spotify and things like that. And it's just far more exciting to just be like, oh, yeah, did you have this issue this time? And it's like, yeah, we can kind of solve these problems together, which is really nice. What about you, Dave? Do you find that's the case as well?
Yeah, I love the podcast community. And anytime I have a chance to interact with someone like we're doing right now, think about this. We're in two different parts of the world having a conversation together around a shared passion for what we do in podcasting. I'm just amazed. And I got to say, I love listening to you. You have such a great podcaster voice.
Oh, thank
and
you. Gosh.
As a Canadian listening with my Canadian version of English, I love listening to yours. It's perfect. But it sounds so, so eloquent when I listen to you talk. So you have a big fan here. I really love having you here. But I just love the fact that we can do stuff like this. Like, it gets you out of your little circle. And I think that's one of the things that I'm really working on this new year is putting myself in places where people have no idea who I am.
Oh, yeah.
In podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
Coming into like a meetup group or whatever and coming into this online meetup group and they're looking at like, okay, who are you? And I have to explain to them who I am, where I'm from and what I do and meeting new people because that just seems, I feel like we spend a lot of time with our community.
Yeah.
People who know us, like on social media, on our website, in our podcast. And these people know us and love us, which is great.
Yeah.
But when's the last time we stepped outside of our circle and went to some new thing and had that awkward first day of school moment where we don't know anybody?
No.
Right. And we get to meet new people that we would never meet otherwise. So I'm trying to put myself out there. I'm an introvert as well.
Mm.
And I struggle in large places and big events. I'm there for 5 minutes and I want to go home. So that's how I feel. So anytime I can do that with people is great. So having this conversation is the joy of my day. So I love having you here.
Oh, thank you. And me too. And that's exactly the same for me, which is, you know, just having these nice one-on-one conversations just makes such a difference. And, you know, especially if you work from home, you know, and you're home all the time, it just makes it really, it's hard. It gets quite isolating. So I think it's nice to sort of punctuate the day with other people, just having conversations with other people, you know, because even as an introvert, you still need that social interaction. So yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to hearing you, Dave, in like Bermuda or something like that. And seeing if you can reach all the tiny islands everywhere. So yeah, absolutely.
I love it. I love looking at those stats too. Like I'm curious about where people are listening from because a lot of these places I've never heard of before. No. So I have to go on the maps and go, where is this place? And then I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
That's cool.
So,
yeah.
It's so neat to see that. Okay. So we have listeners who are listening to this podcast and they are on the beginning stages of starting their podcast. Or maybe their podcast is relatively new and they're trying to grow and build. From your perspective, 4 years into your podcast journey, what kind of things are you learning about podcasting that maybe we could help somebody go a little faster on their journey and maybe, you know, get some tips and some ideas from you? What kind of things would you say to encourage a new podcaster today?
I would say don't give up. Because I think that is one of the biggest issues is that after 8 episodes, there's all these statistics that show that people just drop off. Because I think you've got to really have a clear aim in your mind. If you're really passionate about the subject, that should be the main goal. I think podcasting is still such a baby, you know, it's still in its infancy. You know, we still don't have the infrastructure in terms of like search engines and things like that. So I think it's a matter of like really sort of persisting with it. So do not lose sight of what you're trying to achieve, which is being passionate about the subject you're talking about. So I think that's a really big one because I think so many people start to just go, I don't want it. Why am I doing this? I'm spending so many hours of my life doing this, but it's a passion project. And I think that's really important. The more people are passionate about their subjects, I think the world would be a better place. And the thing is, if it's not for profit, that's even better because it's a case of you're doing it with a real mind, like with your heart into it. So I think that's really important. The other aspect is find a group, find your people. It's really, again, it can get really isolating doing it because you have absolutely no idea who's listening, what's going on. And so find a group of people who are also podcasters because, again, they can kind of help you along the way. And I find that really, really useful. Just because, for example, there's like little tips that you don't even realize. People have different skill sets within groups. So some people might be better at marketing something, or maybe they're better at sort of audio editing than other people. And that's the type of people you need around you, which is to constantly learn from each other. And that's really important within groups.
Yeah, I totally agree. I heard somebody say once a while ago that there's wisdom in the council of many. So as we come into these meetings and conventions and things, and we get to talk to other podcasters, there's so much wisdom in the room. And we don't always need to come to get, we can come to give.
Absolutely.
In those environments is right as well. Yeah. So we should come with that kind of giving attitude when we come into a room.
For sure.
I think that really kind of helps our mindset to be in the right spot as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because, you know your own skill set, so you know what you can offer. You know, I'm not particularly good at marketing by far. I'm terrible at marketing. But, you know, I can definitely offer things like, you know, journalism side, so interviewing, editing and things like that. So that's my forte, research writing. But, you know, again, I always welcome advice from people. And I think that should be the same with everyone, which is just having going in with it with a curious mind and being open.
I love it. So what are you seeing for your show? What's some of the things that are going on with your podcast that are encouraging you right now?
It's quite amazing. Like, so it's kind of taking a different turn to when I started, which was essentially a hobby. You know, I did it because I basically needed to get out of that sort of dark space of the pandemic and things like that. And being in the news, you're seeing quite a lot of horrible stuff anyways. But I basically saw that this could be used as a vehicle for something much bigger. So for me, it's taking it to the next iteration, which is I've quit my full-time job, so that's already a really big job, a really big deal. So I'm just working part-time so I can basically create this properly, a platform for the podcast and the website, and basically create a sort of grassroots movement where I hire lots of disabled creatives so that they have remote work opportunities in a time where it's extremely difficult for disabled creatives to basically find work and have sustained work. So that's why I'm creating this platform to try and build this into something much bigger.
Okay, so we definitely have to talk about this more because there are people sitting up right now, they're listening going, what did she just say? I'm so interested. Tell me more about how this is all coming together then.
So basically, I've alongside the podcast, I have a website, and the website is books related, but it's about the intersection of society and literature. And it's a learning platform, essentially. You know, it's incredible. We try and keep a intersectional approach with it. So we have a much more broader range of voices and things like that. And we look at much broader subjects as a result. At the moment, there's so many things happening in the world that is affecting everyone. And basically, I realized that, you know, I'm a disabled creative myself. And I realized this was especially in the UK, a lot of disabled people are being targeted by the government. And so I just wanted to kind of try and counter it in some shape or form by making sure that we have the opportunities and that we create the opportunities for ourselves. But this will be in the form of flexible work opportunities, because that's the hardest bit, which is for disabled creatives, it's about flexibility, adaptability, and also just having remote work opportunities where they're basically forcing a lot of people back into an actual newsroom or actual office. And I think that's really difficult for a lot of people. So this is definitely my sort of movement for this year is to do this. So I'm working with a lot of disabled arts charities at the moment. So Cryptic Arts, which is a great one. So I work with them in terms of trying to build something and collaborate on different partnerships and doing lots of different sort of activities. But also I'm working with a fully disabled organization that creates websites and does marketing. And they're just completely taking over to basically rebuild it so it's fully accessible, the site. So yes, that's a big one this year,
wow.
But trying to basically be part of the solution and not the issue.
I love it. I love it. So is this going to be more focused on the UK? Is this a global initiative?
It'll be a global initiative for sure. You know, for me, it's a case of trying to provide opportunities where it's needed, just because it is really, really hard at the moment for so many people, especially during a cost of living crisis. So I think this would be a really good way of doing it, and which is to have remote opportunities for, especially for writers and things like that, who are looking and reading books and stuff, especially as an introvert, and to be able to contribute their own viewpoints to different subjects, because we have an intersectional kind of point of view. So it's good to have a slightly vast, diverse array of thinking, because it's really easy to lump people into, if you're disabled, you should only talk about disabled matters, which is just not the case. We have life experiences across the board. So that's what I'm trying to sort of move away from, which is not to make disabled people just talk about DEI related stuff. So, yeah.
Nice. Amazing. And for those that are listening, we're going to have it in the show notes, but can you also just mention the name of the website as well, so people can go there?
Sure. Thank you so much. It's a www.howtobe247.com. And it's basically How to Be Books, which is the name of the site. And so it's always like loading. There's so much stuff on it. There's like hundreds and hundreds of articles on it now. So there's always something to read. The aim is to make it beyond just me and make it a much bigger movement than me. So, yeah.
Awesome. I love it. And then as far as podcasting in general, is there anything that you're kind of looking for answers on around podcasting that maybe we can talk about? Because I'm sure there's some questions that people have that are listening that maybe we can kind of talk about as we have our conversation today as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest thing for a lot of podcasters who go beyond a certain point, which is monetization, which is extremely difficult. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts, Dave, on what you think about it, whether it's possible. What would your suggestions be?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to make money with your podcast. And the seems like the default answer that most people are anticipating is getting paid to have somebody listen to your show or have a sponsor who pays to be on your podcast. That's going to work for some of the larger shows. Mm. But I find with a lot of new podcasters who have a very small audience in the beginning that they have a hard time finding somebody who wants to sponsor them, because they only have 10 listens.
Yeah.
20 listens. Like, these big companies are looking to get in front of the largest audience possible with their message. So they're targeting the big, big shows.
Yeah.
But the majority of podcasters fall in the lower listenership than what's promoted at all these big events we go to. So having 100,000 people listen to your episode in 7 days, that's out of reach for a lot of podcasters. And unfortunately, that's who most of these larger companies are looking to work with, are those big, big, big names, which makes sense. They want to get a return on their investment in our show. So I like there's a lot of other things that we can do as podcasters that can help us offset the costs of being a podcaster or make us a little bit of money on the side and work our way into things. For me, I started out as a podcaster creating my show. I've never had commercials in my podcast. I've never had a sponsor, but I do podcast editing for past guests and clients based on my show. So it's turned into a livelihood because I do all my own editing anyway. Now people are reaching out to me and saying, Dave, can you help me start my podcast? So whether it's getting them set up and they go on their own, or training their team on how to do all the behind the scene work, I do stuff like that now, which is now bringing me income as a kind of an offshoot of having a podcast, not directly related to my show, but just people coming into my world because of me being out there and having my podcast. And the other thing is, I set up recently just an easy donation site, and I put it on my website. I put it in my email signature. I mention it here and there. I don't really promote it a lot, but I just use a website called Buy Me a Coffee.
Yeah.
At buymeacoffee.com. And then I have that on my site. And for Buy Me a Coffee in the last 6 months, I've made almost $3,000.
Oh, wow.
Canadian in 6 months, just from listeners donating to the show, $5, $10 here and there. And it's great. It's like a little bit of affirmation for me that there is listeners out there, that they are listening to the show and they're finding value. And they're thinking, you know, that was a good episode. I loved hearing that conversation. Here's $5.
Wow.
You know, it's not a big lift. And I know you can have like Patreon where people pay you every month to be part of your community. There seems to be this requirement that you have to make extra episodes though, like bonus content. And for people who are busy or working full time and doing this as a hobby, there's not a lot of free time to make bonus content. No. So I find the donation model through like Buy Me a Coffee, for example, is working really well. So what I do is I've been married for 30 years. I now can take my wife out for dinner because of the listeners for my show. And I thank them for that. Hey, you know, thank you for that donation. I bought my wife some flowers. That's so nice. Right. So it's like the audience is like, they really understand, you know, that's a benefit to me as a host.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing for a new podcaster is to do something like that, because it's easy for somebody to donate to you a one-time donation if they want, and it's a way for your audience to give you back value for all the times you come to the microphone and all the work that happens behind the scenes. And there's this one thing that I did a little mini-series about making money with your podcast, and I challenged the listeners to the show that I gave them this line, you do not have because you have not asked.
Yeah.
You have to ask. Your audience does not know how much this costs in time, investment, equipment, hosting fees, all of the things. They don't understand. It's a free listen on their app. So to them, it's a free to make. If you don't understand podcasting, you don't know how much work it is.
No.
So I make sure that I make the ask. And I'm seeing a return on that just by doing that. So my encouragement to everyone is, even though it feels like you're being a little bit salesy, right? That you're making this ask like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I'm like that
just,
as well.
I say to people, there's a stigma around sales.
Yeah.
And if you think about when you go to buy a vehicle, for example, you go to buy a car, and the salesperson is trying to make you buy this car, and you feel like you're being pressured to make a decision to purchase. And it's like, it makes you a little feel uneasy. But as podcasters, I think we should be proud of what we do and proud of the work we put into this and our passion for what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people getting value from what we're doing. And just recognizing that they want to give back to you. So without being overly pushy, you can always say, you know, thank you for listening to the show. If you found value today in what we talked about, there's a link on my website if you wish to donate. Mm. Thank you. I really appreciate you.
That's really interesting.
Right? Yeah. Just making it part of your regular thing that you do. So your listeners are like, yeah, you're right. I did enjoy that podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is my go-to podcast. I listen to all the time. So I do want to give back.
Yeah.
Whether it's one time, multiple times, but I want my podcast host to know that I really value them and their show.
Definitely. That's great. I was also wondering, did you have a chance to look at all these like new gizmos that all these big companies are trying to sort of introduce? Like Spotify now has obviously their premium service, which, you know, you can pay for different listens, but they also have this tool where it's essentially you can comment on questions on each episode. What are your thoughts on those?
I actually have been getting some responses. I think you have to ask really good questions.
Yeah.
You can set a default question that goes on every episode. And I'm like, okay, well,
yeah.
But if you get really into the topic of that episode, and then again, you do not have, if you do not ask, you have to actually ask people to respond to those questions or the polls. You really need to put it out there as part of your content. Mm. I think it gives people a chance to respond and have a conversation.
Yeah.
Anytime that you can hear back from your audience is a bonus, because now you're not by yourself talking to a microphone in your home. There's actually a person on the other end saying, I loved what you said in that episode. I agree with you. Or I have a different point of view. Have you thought of it this way? And you're like, wow, now we're having a conversation.
That's true.
I love that. I love that.
That's
interesting. Have you been using that? Have you been using it yourself?
I've put the questions out there, but I haven't tailored them yet, which I definitely need to, because I have one of those generic questions that I've set, but, you know, I haven't even had a chance to look at it. But, you know, it's weird because obviously they're all going for something different. They're all going with different tactics. So obviously this is Spotify's thing and, you know, but who knows what Apple's going to do, iTunes and things like that. And, you know, and you keep hearing all these things about, you know, people being laid off within the industry. And so you do, I think there's a lot of fears even with podcasters, whether, you know, oh God, do we continue given like the tech industry, the audio industry is just all being decimated at the moment. So it's a weird one at the moment. I think there's lots of optimism, but at the same time, there's also these sort of things happening. So I don't know what you think about it.
Yeah, when I look at the big, big shows, which are the minority of all of podcasting, by the way, where you have a team of 20 who produce one episode, and it costs thousands and thousands of dollars to make one episode. And when you listen to the end credits of the episode, they list off all of the people, the person that gets the coffee for the other person who does the thing, and then the person who gets the pictures and the person who does the research, the person that's in charge of the music person who helps the music person. You're like this whole list of people. You're like, oh my gosh, I do this all myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the only one, right? So what I love about it is it seems to kind of, they're looking at from a business perspective. Does this podcast episode generate income?
Yeah.
Because we're putting a lot of money into it. Where us, as solo entrepreneur podcasters who do most of it ourselves or on a very limited scale, we don't have that budget over our heads. No. We don't have to report to somebody, right? And you hear people's show being canceled.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't making a profit.
Mm.
And so I love the idea that that also is the opposite of what we do.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to look behind me here. There's nobody here to cancel me. And my if my show is terrible today, which is not because you're here.
Oh.
But if my show is terrible, I'm still looking. There's no one else here to tell me I'm doing a terrible job.
Just
and
your wife.
Your show, my wife. Yeah, right. If the flowers don't come in, there's a problem. But there's no one to tell me that my episodes is not good. My podcast is canceled. You're out of work.
Yeah.
Because I'm my own producer. I do it all myself. So there's some freedom in that.
Yeah.
So I don't rejoice in big shows closing. But at the same time, that's one less show that I need to compete with.
Yeah, that's very true.
When we only have so many hours a week to listen to audio.
That's so true. Right. And I guess that's a bit of a relief, I guess, for even any podcasters starting up. It's just like, don't look at the big ones. Don't even bother looking at the big ones. It's just a totally different ball game, isn't it? We don't have these massive teams and, you know, we don't have to have the specific audio quality that they have and things like that. So I think that's a bit of a relief for anyone starting up.
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure for those big shows to produce and generate income, right?
Definitely.
That's got to be a really stressful place to be.
Yeah.
To be behind the mic for that show.
Yeah.
Right. So I admire them. I admire what they do. But at the same time, I don't know if I myself personally could handle the stress of a big show like that.
Yeah, me neither. I'm like, that's a lot of responsibility to you, not just your listeners, but I guess to your team and to whoever's paying you. So absolutely. So I guess that's a bit of a relief because obviously, you know, you see these headlines and people start to question, okay, wait, does that mean podcasting is over? And it's like, it's not though. It's really not. It's the grassroots there is very much still there and it's still growing. And the fact that there is definitely talk about building the infrastructure. So it means that there is interest there still. So, you know, it shouldn't put anyone off from doing it because I think, yeah, people read the headlines and then they get a bit like, oh, I'm not going to bother. So, yeah.
Yeah. And again, if your gold standard is those big shows and you have 5 listens to your last episode, I think a lot of people, that's also contributes to people quitting and leaving podcasting when they think, why am I not super successful after a few episodes?
Yeah, it's frustrating. People, right?
But think about it. Those 5 people showed up for you.
Exactly. Exactly. Right?
So the mindset's frustrating. To your point earlier, right?
Mm.
Yeah. They came for you where they could have gone to hundreds of other things that could have occupied their time. They came to you and they keep coming back.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of it, I don't know if you feel the same, Dave, but I find podcasting is almost like going to be part of my legacy. I really do think it's almost like your posthumous sort of thing that's you're going to leave behind. Because, you know, loads of people do lots of different things. They write books, they create music and stuff. But I think this is probably another medium that people are using as well to do the same thing. Because, you know, I interview guests who I basically am completely like enamored by because I'm so just complete fangirling over their books and stuff, seriously. Right. And so for me, it's like, I got to do that in my life where I got to speak to the person who I really admire. Yeah. So I think that, I don't know if you feel the same as well, where it's kind of bigger than just creating a podcast.
Yeah. I think having your own podcast will help you to grow as a person.
Mm.
You'll gain new talents and abilities and you'll develop skills that you would not have if you never had a show.
Definitely not.
And if at the end of the day you do a podcast for a few years, for example, and then you stop, you will have great stories about having a show, having a podcast, the pride of putting something out in the world and hearing back from a listener from another country, connecting with somebody you've never met, like we're doing right now. Like it's a totally different thing. So even if you only do it for a short period of time, I think creating a podcast will help you as a person to develop those skills and abilities and gain some confidence as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like, you know, I feel like a different person. I think, you know, anyone is different, you know, everyone changes over the years, but I think the podcasting itself has definitely changed me as a person. Just because obviously I wasn't very confident and I wasn't in a great place when I was doing it, but, you know, right afterwards, after all this sort of training yourself and being organized, I just realized, like, you know, I've learned a lot of skills through it. So, and I'm sure you feel the same, isn't it? All the different podcasts that you run.
Yeah. And again, that's the beauty of having guest co-hosts come on this podcast is I want people to hear more voices than just mine.
Me too.
Because I don't want anyone to think that my way is the only way. And I hear a lot of that in podcasting, where there's experts who tell you, you have to have this microphone and only this microphone. You have to do it this way and only this way.
Yeah.
And podcasting from the very beginning was meant to be open to everyone.
Yeah.
You can podcast with your phone if you need to.
Yeah, which is what I did.
Is it the best choice? Well,
no.
Maybe you can work your way up later, but if you're waiting for a $1,000 microphone, why not start? Just start. And you can always upgrade and move up later, right?
I agree.
So, you know, just start and get your voice out there. Yeah.
The thing is that you can faff around for ages. If you're anything like my partner who buys lots of expensive equipment and then never uses it, then you're never going to start anything. So I'm always in the mindset, you just start. The key is to just start. You know, I started on my phone. You know, I had a crappy headset, you know, just a headphones that, like, and I just plugged it into my phone and I spoke on the microphone on it. and it was fine. You know, it wasn't great, but it's forced me to do it. And I think it's the act of it's the discipline, the habit that you're creating with it. And if you do that regularly, you realize it just becomes part of your natural habit. And so, yeah, and then afterwards you can upgrade, and which obviously I have. But you know, it's a matter of, it's not so much the equipment at the beginning, it's the mindset.
Yeah. That whole barrier to entry needs to come way down so that everyone feels that they can come to podcasting, share their message. There are people listening to this podcast right now who have an amazing life story.
Yeah.
They've overcome something in their life and their words can change somebody's future.
Yeah.
And if a microphone is in their way or their fear is in their way and keeping them from sharing that message, we're all in trouble because we need that voice in podcasting. So that's why I'm doing the show, is I want people to be encouraged, you know, hey, here the two of us are talking about this. We struggled in the beginning and we're working our way through it. You can do this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel the same as well, which is, you know, using your podcast as a platform to showcase other voices is so important. You know, from the beginning, I was like, well, first of all, I hate the sound of my own voice. So I basically was like, okay, I'm just going to talk to lots of people and just put them on. So you get to hear lots of other voices and not just mine. And I really kind of liked that format, which was great because everyone has such a different opinion on different subjects and all of it's valid. No one is wrong. And at a time where everything is polarized and everyone is bandwagoning and things like that, I was like, we need to have much more open conversations. So yeah, I think it's great to have lots of stories and lots of voices. So podcasting's a great medium for that.
Yeah. And I struggled with the sound of my voice as well when I first started, and I didn't know how that would go. And I started getting feedback from listeners that they enjoyed the sound of my voice. So when I listen to you, I love the sound of your voice. Okay. So you know that? I just do. I think it's amazing. So if you're listening and you're thinking, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, right? There's so many advantages to starting.
Absolutely.
Just start and you'll get better and you'll work through it. It'll all get better.
And also in any language you want to speak in, this is so important because I find that a lot of people I used to talk to wouldn't necessarily give in contributions for the podcast because they were concerned about their accent. And I was just like, actually, that's the beauty. That's the diversity of everyone's voices. So talk in whichever language you feel really comfortable in, you know, so I think that's really important as well. And also it's great because you get to reach a whole other audience that no one else would be able to. So, you know, in Canada, you've got obviously Canadian French. And so if you want to speak in French, you know, that's easier for you, then you should be comfortable when you speak. I think that's really important.
Yeah, I love it. Well, okay. I know that we weren't going to talk all day. I could talk to you all day. I really enjoy having you on here. I would love for you to come back in the future.
Please.
And, you know, let's carry on the conversation together. But before we go, let's promote the podcast. Again, let's share the website and get you some new listeners to come around and check you out and come to your amazing website where you're helping so many people. Let's promote. I'd love to do that.
Oh, thank you so much, Dave. It's been such a pleasure. And I agree, I can talk to you forever. So you can find me at How to Be 24/7 on all social media platforms. And I am How to Be Books Podcast on all major podcasting platforms as well. So you can find me there. The website is www.howtobe247.com. Cannot wait to see you there. So please do join in.
Amazing. And that's how you do that. And that's so great having you here on the podcast. I would love to have you back. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Okay. Everyone, all the information's in the show notes. If you've found value in this podcast, please consider donating and being a part of our audience because we love doing this with you. So again, thank you so much for being part of the
podcast. Thank you so much. Yeah. And buy Dave a coffee.
Thank you so much. Awesome. Hey, thank you for sticking all the way through to the very end. It's bittersweet that the episode is over and that we're done for this episode, but you will come back and I will come back, and you know, there's you and me, and we're one big happy family here at the How to Podcast series, far beyond being just pod pals, which is fine, but I'd much rather do life together as family here. And to that end, a reminder, as we talked earlier in other episodes as well, that we do have a meetup group, and you are invited. I would love to have you come. It's free. We do them scattered throughout our calendar, different days, different times, because we have people listening around the world, like Kuba in Warsaw, Poland. Hi, Kuba. It's amazing how we can reach the world with a podcast. So through our meetup group, what we do is we get together. It's free for you. Cost me money, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. We get together, we meet other podcasters, we talk podcasting, and it's a way to get from behind the microphone, sitting by ourselves, recording on our own, and doing community. Podcasters need community. You need to meet other podcasters. And just in a low-key, fun environment, talk podcasting. So my challenge to you in 2024 and beyond is to get into a meetup group, find other podcasters, introduce yourself, and make new friends. It's just like school all over again, grade 9. Let's meet each other and share the podcast journey. Go to howtopodcast.ca and click on all the information you'll find there around our meetups. And I'd love to have you there. Thanks for listening. Catch you on the next episode. Get out there and record your podcast. Take care.